Hello, family. This is Larry Hogan. I'm your host for the podcast, Where Do We Go From Here? That is the question, the answer, forward. Always forward. Hi. It's been a minute since we talked, but one of the things that I've been working on is a surprise. Stay tuned. It is coming, and I'm going to use this podcast as a I don't want to say guinea pig, but I'm going to use it as a testing ground for what I hope to do. One of the things that I have been doing as of late is doing scriptural interpretations. A little background. My church name is St. Mark African Methodist Episcopal Church. My pastor has led us in an initiative to feed your faith and starve your doubt. And one of the things that we do is have a daily prayer call. Prayer call occurs at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. And it goes like this. At 6 a.m., one of the ministers at our church will come on, and we will have an open call for folks to mention names that they want to pray for, a family member, a friend, a situation, an issue. And they'll call it out loud, and then a minister will come on and pray on their behalf. And then an officer of the church will read a passage of scripture. That's basically the 6 a.m. call. And then on 6 p.m. we come back, we gather again, and the same process, except instead of reading the scripture, we interpret a scripture. And that is where I come in at. And so what I like to do is read for you that scripture for a selected day and give you my interpretation. And that is where we're going to go from here for a little while, okay? And today, the scripture, the red scripture, the chosen scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. I'm going to be reading from the Living Bible translation, okay? Chapter 8, verse 1. Next is your question about eating food that has been sacrificed to idols. On this question, everyone feels that only his answer is the right one. But although being a know-it-all makes us feel important, what is really needed to build the church is love. If anyone thinks he knows all the answers, he is just showing his ignorance. But the person who truly loves God is the one who is open to God's knowledge. So now what about it? Should we eat meat that has been sacrificed to idols? Well, we all know that an idol is not easily a god. It's not really a god. And that there is only one God and no other. According to some people, there are a great many gods, both in heaven and on earth. But we know that there is only one God, the Father, who created all things and made us to be his own, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, who made everything and gives us life. However, some Christians don't realize this. All their lives, they have been used to thinking of idols as alive and have believed that food offered to the idols is really being offered to actual gods. So when they eat such food, it bothers them and hurts their tender consciousness. Just remember that God doesn't care whether we eat it or not. We are no worse off if we don't eat it, and no better off if we do. But be careful not to use your freedom to eat it, lest you cause some Christian brother to sin whose consciousness is weaker than yours. You see, this is what may happen. Someone who thinks it is wrong to eat this food will see you eating it at a temple restaurant, for you know there is no harm in it. Then he will become bold enough to do it too, although all the time he still feels it is wrong. So because you know it is all right to do it, you will be reasonably responsible for causing great spiritual damage to a brother with a tender consciousness for whom Christ died. And it is a sin against Christ to sin against your brother by encouraging him to do something he thinks is wrong. So if eating meat offered to idols is going to make my brother sin, I will not eat any of it as long as I live, because I don't want to do this to him. That was 1 Corinthians 8th chapter, verses 1 through 13. And so now let's flip to the other side. And I am going to read my interpretation in its entirety. And that is going to be the podcast for today. 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 13. The scripture has been read. My verse of focus will be 12. 1 Corinthians challenges believers to examine every area of life through the lens of the gospel. Paul addresses food, sex, worship gatherings, the resurrection, and divisions. Many of the problems and questions the Corinthian church was dealing with then are still present today. Chapter 8 deals with the dispute of eating food that had been sacrificed to idols and the resulting division that could occur. Further study leads me to believe the mention of food and idols are symbolic. Part of the text was dealing with divisions in the church. The conflict was new Gentile converts versus established Jewish believers. The guiding principle should be to consider the consciousness of a weaker Christian as more important than individual freedom. Doing something permitted should never hinder the spiritual health of someone else. If your actions make your brother weak, don't do it. Make sacrifices for the cause of Christian unity. To further my case for symbolism, Matthew 4 and 4 reminds us that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. In Deuteronomy 8 and 3, Christ referenced food, humility, and hunger to make a point to the people of Israel in their wilderness experience by supplying their needs with daily manna. So let me conclude this way. Too much food implies greed. And I will submit to you that greed, if not the main problem, it is certainly a leadership problem for the world and where we are today as a nation. So here now is where I want to stake my claim. Inspired by the events leading up to what happened on January 6th, and seeing as this is the beginning of Black History Month, and though he was known for so much more, I want to give a shout out to the great John Lewis and take a page from him and use for my title, Good Compromise. My 3 points. Point one, culture, meat and potatoes. I am a connoisseur of information, be it television, radio, print, or social media. Why is that important? Because there is a wealth of information available at one's disposal. Use them. My analogy with the subtitle is from my beloved Wanda, who tries so hard to prepare a well-balanced meal, but at the end of the day, I'm just a basic meat and potatoes kind of guy. So, for Black History Month, one of the shows I watch asks its panelists and guests to name a Black person who inspired them, living or dead. On this particular day, I heard 3 names, Hank Aaron, Berry Gordy, and Toni Morrison. These magnificent human beings made their mark on society and the world, and with little research, everyone probably knows their claim to fame. Hank Aaron got death threats because he was about to pass Babe Ruth's home run record. Berry Gordy, the founder of Motown, whose artists many say provided the soundtrack of America in the 60s, could perform at most any of white-owned venues in America, but couldn't sleep in those same white-owned hotels. If there is no Toni Morrison, maybe there's no Amanda Gorman. Imagine, if you would, the compromise and sacrifices they had to make just to pursue their passion. Proverbs 18 and 16, the New American Standard Version says, a person's gift makes room for him and brings him before great people. for more perspective, I would invite you to read two books. Hoax, H-O-A-X, by Brian Stelter, which looks at how Fox News compromised the truth in the highest levels of government. And then there's 400 Souls, a community history of African Americans from 1619 to 2019, by Professor Ibrahim Kendi, Keisha Bland, and others. Point number two, political. American Idol. Paul says an idol is nothing, meaningless, it has no power, which is a perfect description for former President Donald Trump. This is not to say the millions of voters who cast their ballots in favor of the former president are racist, nuts, immoral, or not decent human beings. Might I remind you daily what Romans 3 and 23 states, for all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. You want unity? You want good compromise? How about this? For at least 5 or more years, the Republican Party and its leaders said nothing about the divisiveness and misinformation coming from the then sitting president. You want unity? How about telling the truth? How about not trying to take health insurance away from millions of Americans? How about no support for members of Congress who believe in wild conspiracies such as the killing of Democratic leaders and celebrities drinking blood from babies? How about making it easier to vote? How about fully funding a COVID-19 relief which includes Main Street and not just Wall Street? You can't say you support law and order and then 45 or 50 senators refuse to hold officials accountable for committing treason against the United States. There must be consequences. Did you hear the crowd shouting deadly threats directed at Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi and Vice President Mike Pence? Our own beloved Florida Congresswoman Val Demings was there. This is virtually the same Republican Party who a decade earlier spent 2 years, $7 million, and over 30 congressional hearings to investigate and condemn the events at Benghazi, where sadly, 4 people died on foreign soil. Now, with 5 deaths, including a police officer, and not including 2 possible related suicides, on American soil, no doubt, at the Capitol, and you want the country to move on. Press Secretary Jen Psaki said it best. The Republican Party does not define unity for the country. And point number 3, spiritual, the power of the tongue. Pastor Gray continues to implore us to read your Bible, your daily devotional, and listen to the daily manna for inspirational guidance. You know, feed your faith and starve your doubt. Some folks probably now wish they heard and followed that advice. Rolling Stone magazine wrote an interesting article about right-wing evangelicals, aka white folks, and its contributions to the events on January 6th. At the pre-gathering of the insurrection, Paula White opened with a prayer calling on God to give us a holy boldness in this hour. She called the election results into question. She implored God to let every adversary against democracy, freedom, against life, liberty, against justice, against peace, against righteousness be overturned right now in the name of Jesus. An hour later, Trump would encourage the crowd to fight like hell. Other articles revealed when, after breaking into the Capitol, a group paused to pray in Christ's holy name. Men raised their arms in the air and thanked God for allowing them to send a message to all the tyrants, the communists, and the globalists. This is our nation, not theirs. They thank God for allowing the United States of America to be reborn. An interpretation for another day is the phrase, the power of life and death is in the tongue. If ever there was evidence of how that is true, it was then. And at that moment, as thousands of people followed the instructions of an idol. Last Wednesday was the funeral services for Officer Brian Sicknick, who was violently and brutally killed on January 6th. Not by enemy combatants on foreign soil, not by Muslims or Islamic terrorists. It was not Al-Qaeda, but by so-called American patriots, who, if they had a different religious affiliation, and let me be clear, these actions and those prayers does not reflect Christianity. And I might as well say it, if they were a different pigmentation, they would be called terrorists and treated as such. As I close, let me connect the dots. Paul's message was, if your actions makes your brother weak, including food eaten and idol worship, don't do it. Make sacrifices for the cause of Christ. So make good compromise. I close with the greatest compromise ever made. Despite our many shortcomings, I choose Matthew 22:37-40. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This concludes my interpretation. So there you have it. A preview of my surprise. I hope that you can read through this. But nevertheless, this has been your host, Larry Hogan, for the podcast, Where Do We Go From Here? Thank you for listening.